Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Well, are you ready for the word? Let's read our scripture for today. It's a short one, so we're going to read it twice. All right, let's go from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. We are reading from the New Living Translation. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Let's read it one more time. Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Well, my name is George, and it's my joy and my privilege today to spend a few moments with us and bring the word of the Lord. I hope you came ready to hear it. I'm going to try to deliver it well. But it's December. You know, this place looks beautiful. Don't you guys love this year's decor? Can we really appreciate Miss Rebecca and her team for just the excellent work they do? And if you're new to NLC, I'm sure you're realizing very quickly that we take Christmas very seriously. You know, it's a serious season here, and we love to celebrate the Lord. But this is also the time of the year when, in the workplace, is the week to close your laptops, beloved. You know, you've done enough for the year. You know, emails are going back with, let's circle back in January, you know, because we are done. Some of us can smell the ocean everywhere we go. And it's so funny because yesterday we had baptism. We had 81 people baptized. Come on. We give the Lord praise for that. And they are finishing up their pep class today. So that was awesome. But for the first time, we've been going to this same baptism area for a couple of years now. And for the first time, I was standing there and I realized there are palm trees on the side of the swimming pool. For a moment there, I was like, this could be a beach. It's time for a holiday. But that's the season we are in. We are slowing down and getting ready to let go and enjoy the season. But as believers, we know that this is an incredibly significant time for us. Because this season is not just about the razzmatazz and the decorations and the holiday food. It's deeper than that. It's the season that we celebrate the coming of our Savior, coming of our Deliverer. And it's important for us to take moments during this time to not just think about the fun of it, but what this season means for all of us. And the story of Christmas is a story about a kept promise. You know, has someone ever promised you something and then came through? And the gratitude you have for, thank you, not just for promising, but for actually seeing your promise through and doing it. That's what Christmas is about. Since the fall of man and the promised redemption, many have waited for the appearance of a Savior. Through the ages, many have asked and questioned, how will he come? Who will he be? How will he know when he comes? And even after he was born, the questions persisted. This scripture that we read, our opening scripture in Matthew 11, it's actually John sending his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah that we have been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? So as we head towards Christmas and our big celebration weekend on the 21st and 22nd, we are kicking off a new series today exploring the question, who is the Messiah? Who is the Messiah? This Messiah that is coming. This Messiah that we are talking about. This Messiah that we are celebrating. Who is he? And we've got to start by knowing what the word means. The Hebrew word Mashiach is where we get the English word Messiah. And it means the anointed one. The equivalent in the Greek is Christos. That's where we get the word Christ. And that also means the anointed one. So it's the same word. You'll read Messiah a lot in the Old Testament. You'll read Christ a lot in the New Testament. But they both mean the same thing. Now you have to understand something here. Messiah means the anointed one. And we are not just talking about our Messiah. Because in scriptures, we read about a lot of messiahs, anointed ones. Priests were anointed. To be anointed means to be set apart for a particular purpose. Priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. Mighty men were anointed. So we're not just talking about our Messiah.
There was only one who was the Messiah. And that's who we are talking about here. And God wanted to make sure that in this bevy of people, that we wouldn't miss the Messiah when he shows up. That it would be so clear that this is the Messiah. Not any that you have heard before. Not any that you have seen before. That it would be clear when the time came that this is the Messiah so that we don't miss him. Have you ever waited for something and then you missed it? Sometimes we, as parents, we promise our children, we do this thing that is, let me give you a parental hack. Don't tell them in January, I will buy you a bike on Christmas. Because then every day, the promise is being placed before you. You know, but we all are guilty sometimes of making a promise. And then when Christmas comes, our parents will tell us, hey, Christmas, this is going to happen. And then when Christmas comes, first of all, you're in shags. You don't even know how it happened that you ended up in shags, which reduces the chances of this gift appearing. And then it doesn't come. And the disappointment. And then you're told, tukirudi Nairobi next year. And then wacha tulipe fees kwanza. And then, you know, and so on and so forth. And it never comes. And the disappointment. And I remember when I was very young and my siblings tricked me. My brother is here in this service today so he can testify to this travesty. So they told me that if I am able to stay awake until midnight on Christmas Eve, I will see Jesus being born. And they would say it year after year because I was never able to stay awake until midnight. Like, you see Jesus being born. And in my head, I created this picture. I used to wonder, like, how does it happen? Does the sky open and then Mary comes down holding Jesus? Like, I can't wait to see this thing, but I couldn't do it. And then one Christmas, finally, I was able to stay awake. And we were in a church service, a Christmas Eve service, and we are holding candles or something. And then I am waiting in expectation. I keep looking up for the roof to open, a sign. And midnight comes. And lo and behold, nothing happens. Can you imagine the disappointment? I did all this for nothing, to just come up and stay in the cold. So God didn't want us to miss it. When the Messiah showed up, he wanted to be sure that we knew exactly what to wait for and what to look for. So he set markers everywhere for us. So the first thing we see in answer to the question, who is the Messiah, is that the Messiah was prophesied. The Messiah was prophesied. He was foretold a lot, over and over. See, the Old Testament is full of prophecies. I know this is going to feel like class, but stay with me because it's important. The Old Testament is full of prophecies that point to the Messiah. They are called messianic prophecies. And according to various scholars, there are anywhere between 200 and 400 of these prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Messiah. They were markers. God put markers over the ages, over 300 of them, saying, hey, if you're ever at a place where you're asking yourself, who is the Messiah? Here is a marker for you. Here is a way you will know. Now, these prophecies, a substantive number of them, about 15 of them, are about the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at some of them relating specifically to the birth of Jesus. First, prophecies concerning his lineage, where he would come from. We are told that he will be Jacob's offspring. We read this in Genesis 28, that the Lord spoke to Jacob, saying, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Speaking of the Christ, we are told that the scepter will come through Judah. The scepter of leadership will come through Judah. In Genesis 49, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Speaking of Jesus Christ, we are told that he will be David's offspring. We read this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, Verse 12, it says, when your days are over, the Lord is talking to David, and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, we know that this scripture wasn't just talking about David's physical son, Solomon, because his kingdom did not last forever. It was speaking of a future offspring, a future king whose throne would last forever. And we see this in the genealogy of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 1. We read about Aminadab, son of Ram, son of Hezron, son of Perez, the son of Judah. We read about the son of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and Terah and Nahor. We read about genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. The prophecy that was made about where he would come from starts to take shape. That when you see the Messiah and you're asking yourself, is this the Messiah? Study who's in his family line. This was the marker that was set in place. Let's consider a couple that have to do with his birth. The scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah prophesying over 7 centuries before Christ, saying, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. We know that in Luke 1, the angel appeared to Mary and told her, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Because Mary was asking, how will this happen? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The scriptures even prophesy about where Jesus would be born. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. When Herod was asking his wise men, you know, where is this Messiah? Where is he going to be born? This is the scripture they came back to in Matthew 2. That when Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for that is what the prophet has written. There was already a prophecy saying that is where he will be born. What about the period around his birth? We know from prophecy that the Messiah would end up in Egypt. We read in Hosea 11. That when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. And there's the natural, he called the nation of Israel out of Egypt. But Matthew reminds us that this prophecy was about Christ in Matthew 2. It says, so he, Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Come on, markers. Who is the Messiah? We even know that there would be great sorrow during the time of his birth. We read in Jeremiah 31:15 that a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. You know, I was telling the first service when we were growing up, there used to be a song that would play on radio during Christmas. And I'd always ask myself, how is this song a Christmas song? You know, those of you who are old enough will remember a Swahili song that goes something like, Sauti ilisikika. You know, that's a Christmas song. And it's from this scripture. Because this scripture is talking about Rachel crying for her children. Raeli. I was like, who's Raeli? You know? In Matthew 2, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Church, the Lord put in place markers for us so that we would know when the Messiah appears that this is him. Now, these are just a few of the messianic prophecies that was fulfilled by his birth alone. Never mind the rest fulfilled throughout his life. It is such an incredible thing that scholars have worked out math to try help us see the improbability of it happening. One scholar by the name of Dr. Stoner, he selects 8 of the best-known prophecies about the Messiah, and he calculates the odds of their accidental fulfillment in one person as being 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, I know it's been a while since some of us did math. And that's a boggling figure. That's 1 in 100 quadrillion chance that any one person would be able to fulfill just 8 of the prophecies, leave alone the 300 plus. Just think about that. Now, this is a big number. I know many of us don't interact with 100 quadrillion often. So I'm going to help you with an example that these scholars use to help us just think about it, okay? So 100 quadrillion, it would take 100 quadrillion silver dollar coins. That's the size of about a 40 bob coin, okay? A 40 bob Kenyan coin. You're familiar with that one, right? It would take 100 quadrillion of them being laid out flat on the ground across the whole state of Texas. Now, I know we also don't interact with Texas a lot. So, Texas is about the size of Kenya, all right? So, our entire country, it would take 100 quadrillion 40 bob coins laid all across the country going 2 feet deep. That's what 100 quadrillion looks like. All right? Now, here's the chance. Say we marked one of those coins after we've laid them out across the country 2 feet deep. We've marked one of those coins. And then we told someone, we blindfolded someone and told them, hey, go find that coin that we marked among the coins that we've laid out. That's the chance that we are talking about. That's what 1 in 100 quadrillion looks like. I mean, how impossible is that? That for it to have happened, there was only one man. There was only one instance that could make this possible. And that's why God put markers in place. But what is the point of all this? What's the point of all these prophecies being fulfilled? What is the point of us knowing that, oh yeah, there's a marker here that was fulfilled? Because 2 Peter 1:19 tells us all of this makes us even more certain that what the prophet said was true. So you should pay close attention to their message as you would to a lamp shining in some dark place. You must keep on paying attention until daylight comes and the morning star rises in your hearts. And when we pay close attention, it only leads in one direction, one declaration, one inescapable conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. See, in a world of conflicting thoughts and opinions, it's important to be reminded that the Lord is who He says He is. We're not just celebrating some random birth. We are declaring the arrival of the Savior of humanity. He wasn't just another leader or a great teacher or a great guru or even a prophet of note. No, this was a divine coming together of factors that could only be possible if Jesus is the Messiah. If you're constantly being challenged about your faith, what you believe, whether you believe in the right God. Because you know, sometimes people like to push our buttons and make us question what we believe. Look at all the signposts, all the markers that God has set in place to remind us that only one could answer, that there is only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. And if you're here and you've been wondering which way to go, you're checking out churches and temples and mosques and mountains and forests, you're looking for a God, you're looking for a Savior, I tell you today, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior. And there is no other name by which man might be saved but that name of Jesus Christ. Later on in His ministry, Jesus is having a conversation with this woman at the well. And the woman says to Him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He who is called the Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. So Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, am he. Jesus is the Messiah. But all these things also tell us, finally, number three, that the Messiah is the miraculous. The Messiah is the miraculous. See, Jesus' birth, the coming of the Messiah, was a miracle for the ages. It took a miracle unfolding over hundreds of years. Just think about this. When the garden happened, that was literally the beginning of the plan of salvation. And this expectation for the Messiah to come is carried over centuries, generation after generation. Prophets would rise and say, hey, there's a Messiah coming, there's a Savior coming. Then that generation would pass away and the next generation would declare it again. Hey, there's a Messiah coming, there's a Messiah coming, wait for him. And the next generation and the next generation, until there was no way that this strand would make sense except by a miraculous act of God. You know, last week Pastor Nelson was speaking to us about the impossible made possible. Think about how impossible this birth was. All those odds that we talked about, and yet God made it possible. How much more the situations that are going on in our lives. You see, Jesus, not only is he the miraculous, he heralds the miraculous for all of us. He announces the miraculous for all of us. He set the pace for the miraculous for all of us. I know this is a miraculous season. And sometimes just the ordinariness of the holiday season, just the things we've got to do, the celebrations we've got to do, the family we've got to host, and just all the way it's set up can blind us from seeing the miracle that this season is. You need to see that the coming of the Messiah portends the miraculous, not just because it happened, but because it is still happening. His miraculous power is still at work. You can expect that same power at work in your life. Because he came, because this was possible, then what is it that God cannot do? Because he came, because he took the most improbable situations and made them possible, what is it that he cannot turn around in your life? I'm believing and I'm deeply convicted that as we've been hearing this last few weeks here at NLC, there's just something significant, something divine that's happening in this season. We are entering a month of miracles. And I want you to believe it and receive it and declare it deep in your heart that this miracle says something about my miracle. The fact that this happened says something about what God can do even in my own situation. And let's believe the Lord together to see the miraculous happen even as we celebrate this season. Can we pray together? Father, we thank you today for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of Christmas. Just the reality of a Savior being born, of that Savior being born, the Messiah coming to our rescue. Lord, we are grateful today for the reality that this is a miraculous thing that you did on our behalf, and that it shows us that you have the miraculous power to do whatever needs to be done in our lives. I pray for each and every one of us in this room that, Lord, we are experiencing the miraculous this month. God, that even in the ordinariness of the season, in the usual, how things go in the season, there will be moments and pockets that we will see the miraculous hand of God at work. I pray for those in our midst who have an expectation in their hearts, and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Lord, may there be an answer, a miraculous answer to that expectation. And Lord, we thank you, we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720 652 652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.